The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and we've got a busy Wednesday coming up on Racing Radio. We'll start at 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. Beverley, Foslas, Salisbury in the afternoon, Yarmouth and Kempton domestically in the evening, and a good card at Goram Park over in Ireland as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio, Mr. Ross Briley after that pregnant pause. How about that, eh?
Beautifully done. It's the only thing you'll ever get pregnant anyway, that's for sure.
Good for the time being.
Oh dear. How you doing, Mark Walton?
I'm all right, Ross Briley. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good. Like I say, Wednesday's racing, we're going to look ahead to that. Ross has picked out one race at Salisbury and a couple at Kempton, so we'll move on to those in due course. But before we get there, let's just talk about some of the news, Ross, some of the racing news. And a big story as we record this is that Toronado may step up in trip and then would meet Al-Kazim at York. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. It's a surprising move. I'll say a surprising move, I suppose. You know, it's only a matter of time before these three-year-olds start to step up a couple of furlongs in trip, and potentially York was going to be quite a weak contest with various trainers and horses ruling themselves out. Well, the horses weren't ruling themselves out. I'm just not running, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I imagine that the Hannan team thought this could be actually quite a weak Group 1. In the past few years, it hasn't, you know, obviously you'd have Frankel turn up, but in terms of small field strength and strength in depth, there isn't often a great deal in the international. It's usually a very good race, but it's usually because you get one or two real quality horses, and that could well be the case again. And it's an interesting move after, obviously, the doubters were silenced at Goodwood somewhat. Yeah, fascinating to see. I mean, I've always had him down as a horse with a lot of speed, and
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean he won't get the 10 furlongs by any stretch of the imagination. No, he was a pretty solid winner over seven. It's not like he's a sprinter as a two-year-old. Yeah, so it certainly makes things interesting and could be worth a trip to the Knavesmire.
Yes, and the reasoning behind it is because Olympic Glory's decent effort on Sunday shows that he's still a force to be reckoned with at a mile and being under the same ownership. They obviously don't want them to clash with each other. So
it was odd that they said sort of it was. I think the Racing Post said it was a resurgence from the Olympic Glory when he'd only really had one bad run, yeah. And that was in Group One company when he was terribly drawn. So
yeah,
It wasn't. It wasn't like he'd gone completely off the boil. But yeah, it's a nice problem to have, isn't it? Oh, we've got two Group 1 milers here. What should we do with them?
Yeah.
So, but as you said, it potentially makes the international a little bit more interesting than it was threatening to be.
Yes, and we've got early betting on the race, and Al-Kazim is the 5-4 favourite. Toronado 2-1, Trading Leather 11-2, Rule of the World 8s, Hillstar 10s with Magician, and then 14-1 or bigger price as the rest. That would be a good race.
Yeah, as you said, the rest are not quite up to the class of Toronado and Al-Kazim, so it'd be nice to have those two battling it out. So, yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, I still think he'll struggle to beat Al-Kazim. He's turned into a real animal. Yeah, as I said, a potentially mouth-watering clash, Mark Walton.
Yeah.
So, good.
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 Other news. Martin Dwyer now has a massive ban to come from the situation in India. What do you make of that?
I think it's ludicrous. Mm. 56 day ban initially. He appeals, says, I'm not entirely sure whether this is right. They go, all right, fair enough, 8 months. And you go, what? I'm sorry. Especially because the initial, the actual racing question, I've actually watched it three or four times, and he did well to actually stay on the horse. It was that crazy. It was all over the place. So, yeah, it's very, very strange. But it's an odd one, I suppose. It just again highlights the problems of having a global sport with completely different rules in every country.
Yeah.
It's like playing football and going having a Champions League match where offside doesn't count. It's just like, well, we don't play offside in our country.
Yeah. Or you get sent off and then they say that's an automatic one match ban. Then you appeal it and you get banned for 17 years.
Yeah, you go, that's it, your career's over, mate. It's I don't know, racing, it's just this big sprawling mass, isn't it? There's no cohesion.
Mm.
The tough thing for jockeys is that they obviously get well paid and well respected when they go out there, but the problem is that they're putting themselves in a position whereby it could potentially ruin their entire season. And obviously we saw it, Richard Hughes got a fair old whack last year, and Martin Dwyer's it's even worse this time around for a ride that, to me, in this country, it wouldn't even bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
So it's a strange one, and it raises a lot of questions for jockeys and just the whole system, really.
To go over there in the first place.
Yeah, is it worth it?
Mm.
Is it worth the risk? You're getting well rewarded, but potentially you're 8 months.
Yeah. So yeah.
For one ride. Anyway.
Anyway, well.
It's strange. Yeah, it's very strange. But the wider problem is that. It's a sport with 1,000 different rules or in different jurisdictions. You know, let's say horses get thrown out in France that wouldn't get thrown out here, and results get reversed in one place that wouldn't get reversed elsewhere. You can use you can use drugs in certain countries, certain kind of enhancing or blood thinning qualities and whatnot in America, and you can't elsewhere. It's quite tough to keep up, really.
It is, and we'll keep an eye on that situation. And just one more thing to mention before we move on to Wednesday's racing. Don Approach, very disappointing in the Jacques Lemarois. He has mucus in his lungs, and he's on a course of antibiotics. So that explains the poor run. And the good news is, for me anyway, because I want to see him run in the QE2, that he's going to be given a break and then come back for that, hopefully all guns blazing. So
just get some Vicks Vapor up. Just a bit of that in his chest, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Get him some chicken soup.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
Hot water bottle, took him up in bed.
Well, he's just been overdoing it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's just been overdoing it. He's been burning the candle at both ends. He's been working hard and playing hard, and he needs to just calm down.
Yeah.
He needs to go to Jim and say, look, Jim, I'm not a machine, as the cliche goes. Just need a little bit of a break, it's fine. Yeah. So, fair enough.
Okay.
It was disappointing.
He needs to stay out of the bar.
He does. He just needs to just go to bed early.
Yeah.
Have a couple of early nights.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a bath. Go to bed at like 10:30. You'll wake up right. It'll be right as rain in a couple of days. Fine. Start eating a bit healthier.
Yeah. Cut out the cheeseburgers.
No cheeseburgers. No two or 3 o'clock visits to the takeaway.
Yeah.
Maybe a detox, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Just fruit and juice and stuff.
We see this so many times, don't we, with the global superstars, that the bright lights go to the head a little bit.
And, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. And start, becoming a bit play horses.
Yeah, he's just gone on form, hasn't he? I mean, maybe you should talk to Rory McIlroy, because, he's had a bad year as well, hasn't he? He's just bounced back last week to a certain extent. And happens to us all.
Okay.
We've all been there, Mark. We've all been. Your time will come.
When I find the bright lights.
Yeah, that'll be it. When you find the bright lights of Leeds.
Anyway, let's move on to Wednesday's racing, because that's why we're here. And you've picked out three races, Ross, the first of which is the 3:20 at Salisbury, and this is the Pembroke Cup Handicap, which is a Class 4 handicap over 1 mile. And we've got some in-form rivals in the shape of Monsieur Rusek.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I know, yeah. Related to hit the crossbar on a couple of times. Russian Realm, very unexposed, could be anything. Amrala as well. Had just the two starts, winning the second of them. There's options in here, isn't there?
Yeah, but a horse I've been waiting for 88 days is Russian Realm, and I think he'll take all the beating here. Monsieur Rusek has been in great form, including over course and distance, but winning at a slightly lower level, although not winning by far, so hardly punished by the handicapper. Related, to be fair to him, he probably should have won one of his last two. He kind of had the run of the race both times, but he's still quite lightly raced, and his record in this country, take out his debut, he's never been out the front two. So he'd obviously have a great chance. Amrilar, as you said, is a dark horse after a win at Newmarket last time out, beating a decent type. And that was back in November last year in soft ground, though, so different conditions. But Russian Realm caught the eye last year on its sole run behind Flying Officer. Was disappointing at Chester at the May meeting, but a lot of that May meeting form is worthless. And it was also a good race anyway. I mean, there's some decent horses in there. Spaceship, Butterfly McQueen, Battalion have all come out and franked the form. And then third to one of my favourite horses of the year, if not my favourite horse, full stop of the year, Remote last time out. That was in a Newbury Maiden, which recorded a startling time. Has thrown up winners left, right and centre. Dare to Achieve, who was second. She's Late, who was fourth, won the other day as well. Bantam, who's fifth, won a couple. Testudo won next time out. Retirement Plan, who was well beaten in 10th, has improved into a really nice handicapper as well. Possibly one of, if not the strongest maidens of the season so far.
Yeah.
And Russian Realm was never in a great position. Well, we always seemed to be a bit keen, a bit wide. Did a bit too much early on. And certainly no disgrace in getting beaten by the front two. Now, Dare to Achieve finished second, rated 96, and Remote, who won it, is rated 111, and Russian Realm gets in here off a mark of 77.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, really. If he's fitting well, he's going to take a hell of a lot of beating here. And Sir Michael Stout, he didn't have a run the last two seasons, but the two seasons before that, he won this race with Mr. Irons and Marching Time. So I think Russian Realm is going to progress into a nice handicapper by the end of the season. So hopefully it will start here.
Okay, good stuff. Russian Realm sounds like a pretty strong opinion then in the 3:20 at Salisbury. To Kempton Park we go for the other two races, and the first of those is the 6:45. This is a classics handicap over 7 furlongs, and well, there isn't much winning form to go on in here, Ross.
No, and the only horse coming here off the back of the win last time out, I think, looks a really strong bet as well. I backed him last time at Leicester based on a nice run at Kempton in a race that's worked out quite well behind Progenitor. It was a strong time, winners have come out of it. And he dropped back to 7 furlongs on soft ground, ridden by Natalia Gemilova, was outpaced at a crucial point, but came through really, really strongly. And I know it was only a seller and he didn't beat a great deal, but he won it with any amount of authority. And he's been left on a mark of 65. He's run quite well on the all-weather round here already. He could be slightly better drawn, I suppose. He's in 7, but last time out he tucked in and got out of pace and stayed on, so I'm hoping he does exactly the same thing here today. And as you said, in terms of actually taking this horse on with anything else, it's a struggle to find anything that comes into this in any semblance of form. I think the big worry for me would be Marmalady for Gary Moore, whose team are in fantastic form. Handicap debut last time out at Bath behind Sonnotation in what was a pretty good race, certainly in respect of this level, the form isn't too bad. And with Gary Moore in very good form and Ryan Moore booked, I think she's the big danger, Marmalady. But Avatar Star should really be doubling up here.
Okay, Avatar Star then in the 6:45. And the 7:15 at Kempton is the final race we're going to look at. This is a maiden filly stakes over the 7 furlong trip. And I'm guessing that something must have caught your eye then, because not many have had. There's a few unrace types, isn't there? So, is it one that's got a race in the book that's caught your eye?
Well, it's quite an interesting race, really. I mean, Tender Emotion ran quite an interesting race at Goodwood, was very green for Charlie Apple behind a very decent type. Grazie made a very encouraging debut as well at Ascot behind Lily Fire in what was potentially a very strong race and certainly very strongly run. Full day disappointed in that Lily Fire race, but run well before that at Sandown. But the one I thought could be potentially overpriced, I say overpriced, it's Hannon and Hughes, but I think it's better than its form figures suggest. It was beaten on debut here behind Princess Noor in what turned out to be a pretty damn good race. Princess Noor went on to win a Group 3 at Ascot a couple of starts ago. The rest of the field haven't really lived up to the winner's form, but Mandalay just seemed very green and just plugged on at one pace. And then she was sent to the turf on very fast ground last time out. Ryan Moore took over. And again, unfortunately, she just ran into a very strong race. KSM, the winner, Charlie Hills' charge, finished second in a listed race next time out. At the second, Valonia won. The third, Oriole, who looked an awkward type, won next time out as well at Windsor. These winners come out of the race left, right and centre. And again, she still looked a little bit green, Mandalay. She's stepping up to 7 furlongs here today, which I'll certainly think will suit her. She didn't seem that quick, really, in those two races. She's related to Gregorian, who has turned into a group class horse over a mile. And she's nicely drawn in 5 as well. So in a race that looks relatively open, I actually think that Mandalay has the best form in the book. And I just hope it gets missed to some extent in the betting, but I'm not so sure. But we'll see. But yeah, Mandalay, Richard Hannon, Richard Hughes.
Yeah, an informed team. That maidens were working out well, and she was staying on, wasn't she? So
yeah, she's still learning as well. Yeah, yeah. So
okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Ross. If you'll just spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, Russian Realm in the 3:20 at Salisbury, Avatar Star in the 6:45 at Kempton, and Mandalay in the 7:15 at Kempton.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
You too.
Those are the selections of Ross Briley then for Wednesday's racing. Plenty of racing to come on Wednesday. Beverley, Fosslass and Salisbury in the afternoon. Yarmouth, Kempton and Goram Park in the evening. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater will be the team in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.